and we will call to order the Board of Supervisors meeting for March 29, 2017, and we will start by reciting the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Open Meetings Act is posted on the east wall. Tenants by observation, Jurgens, Hill, Bauman, Dorn, Lytle, Byers, and Tiemann. Consent agenda. One is the general agenda. Two is approve the minutes of the meeting held March 15, 2017. Approve all claims through March 29, 2017 in the amount of $558,596 and I think that's 86 cents, right? Instead of a comma, that should be a decimal. Yeah. Accept claim number 17030338 to Johnny's Welding, Inc. in the amount of $70.90 to be voted on separately below. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve specs for county road and gravel and call for bids. Bids to be opened April 12, 2017 at 9:30 a.m. Approve turning the courthouse lights to blue for Go Blue for Autism Awareness for the month of April. Receive Beatrice Fire and Rescue 2016 annual report and place on file. Receive Gage County Victims Assistance annual report and place on file. Approve calling for bids for demolition of the county building located at 221 South 7th, Lymore, Nebraska. Bids to be opened on April 26, 2017 at 9:15 a.m. And we do need to pull number nine for the bids for that property down in Wymore. That is not ready yet.
No.
We did put it on the agenda in case it was ready. Then we could have it on here and approve it. So
I apologize. No. There's a couple of paragraphs on that bid process that I just need to work on, and I got detracted this week. So I apologize.
Yeah. So we will have that on next meeting's agenda, but number nine we are pulling off of there. So
move to approve the consent agenda, last number nine.
Second.
Motion by Tiemann, second by Bauman. Got comment? No, just
make sure you got me.
Anything else? I'll just make a quick comment on the rock and gravel bids. Roger and Galen worked on updating those some and, I guess, clarifying them some more. And then Monday at our committee meeting, I think we added another option or whatever on there also. So I think they're ready to be put out, and then we'll next meeting we'll open the bids again.
I just Galen did a really good job of taking something that, as we talked about, or as you guys talked about at the last meeting, it can get very complicated. Reduce it down. The option checklist he's got in that proposed contract is a very good way to handle it.
We had quite a time at the last meeting, and then at our committee meeting, we probably went over this another half an hour again, trying to make sure we had it a little bit more clarified the way we were intending it to be, not the way it turned out, unfortunately turned out to be. So
he got it made, or he made the contract out so even lawyers could bid that product.
They can now. Yeah, I don't know about that. So, anything else?
Way to go, John.
If not, vote 7-0 in favor. Regular agenda. Approve or disapprove claim number 17030338 to Johnny's Welding in the amount of $70.90. Total dollar amount of claims approved through March 29, 2017 is $558,667.76.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Tiemann, second by Bauman. Vote. 6 in favor with Jurgens abstaining. Next up, comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. And we let everybody know here, I've talked to a few people that have called or whatever. We will, at our 9:30 timed event, if you want to make comments about the special use permit, we will have a public comment period at that time. That will be that will be limited to 3 minutes for anybody. But you can talk now if you can't stay for that or if you want to, but then you will not be allowed to talk twice this morning or whatever. So, but if you would sure like, we will allow time right before when we start that special use permit discussion and stuff, we will allow public comment at that time instead. One clarification there, though. public comments, the board cannot ask questions, or the board cannot ask questions of whoever is talking, so it's not that we're not interested or whatever. Public comment has guidelines, and if we need to, we can have Roger explain them. We're not allowed to have discussion with you, or we're not allowed to ask questions, or we cannot act on any part of what you do. Now, if sometime during our discussion later, if somebody wants to ask a question to somebody,
from the board this way?
From the board that way, then that is allowed later. But
that's subject to the chairman's discretion.
No, that's fine, but not during the public comment, just so everybody understands that. So is there anybody that would like to do public comment now? If not, we will move on. Committee reports, building and grounds, winter lights.
Discussed our committee meetings Monday relative to redoing our blue lights, recognizing Autism Month, and Dave Jones is going ahead and doing that. And Dave, would you like to come forward and just give us a little report on what's going on?
Good morning. Yes, as Mr. Byer said, we'll turn the lights on blue starting Saturday for Autism Month. That always is a good thing to do. Looks nice. I did talk to Jason Moore during our during our safety committee reports. We talked about possibly putting a crosswalk on 7th Street, so between the parking lot and the courthouse. So I will see when he returns my call. I got a bid to take down the chimney at the old living quarters at the sheriff's office. That chimney is leaning quite a bit, so for safety, we would like to take it down. I got a bid for $1,600 to take that down. And, the other thing would be just with the probation offices, we've had continual trouble with static on their lines and stuff, so we are checking for them to get their own phone system. And so we're going to get some bids on that. And other than that, the men's restroom is not completely finished, but it is open up for public use now. So we'll start on the women's here as soon as we can.
If you haven't taken a look yet, take a look. It's absolutely fantastic. Dave and his crew worked and worked and worked to do those. And thank you. That's really fantastic.
Thank you. I'd like to say the girls helped a lot. They were
in sure
there
did.
Tearing tiles out like crazy, too. So
they
thank
sure
you.
Did.
That's all I have.
Thank you, Dave.
Anything else?
Nothing else.
And I'll just make a quick comment. That chimney over there in that old living quarters or whatever, I always pictured a little one. You ought to look at the size of that thing over there. That's a huge chimney on top of there. So we don't want that thing falling. So they've gone up and looked at it, and that's what they bid. So. Equalization.
Nothing.
Finance and insurance.
Myron, fairly small, big enough items except for one. Rose Equipment Incorporated for the Roads Department, 2014 Lee Boy 8515 paver, $146,000. I guess two. Road Bond Fund. Road bond insurance payment, $43,152.15.
Insurance or interest?
What?
Insurance or interest payment?
Interest
payment. That's all, yeah.
Interest.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I didn't know we had insurance on road bond.
Interest payment.
We might need that.
We might need that? We're never mind.
Don't go there.
That's basically it.
No, and Galen talked about that, that the paver machine is ready to pick up, or same as ready to pick up. So they should have picked it up yesterday already. So good. So that should be able to use it. So you delivered the old one too then. So, yeah, good. Human Resource Employees Relations.
Nothing,
John. Law Enforcement Emergency Management. Oh, got to look at my notes. We had a closed session on some issues. Can't remember, Gus. What else did we talk about?
You're right. We got a full agenda.
Yeah.
Just
talk about the Purple Wave auction. That's going to be coming up. I think closing bids on the patrol cars April 4th. It's on there right now. I think the flyer was on your packet. I handed out. We talked about some of our radar units are bad. They're just no fixing to them. They're about average of 15 years old. We talked about county first aid, CPR, and AED training. Some shortages on correctional staff part-time. Post-release supervision on the parolees coming out of the state side. Address our overcrowding. They come down to us, and if they get paroled and then they get in trouble, they come down and get violated, come down to our county. And then we have to absorb them here for a while until they go through their hearing. I did find out on our medical provider on ACH, if we hold them outside of our facility and or they're not our inmates, they said they would not cover any health benefits that we have through that policy. They did say, however, they would put amendment to the contract. So if it is at a facility like Falls City where they are ACH, they'll split that cost off and send that to us. So at least we'd save that much on that. And then I think pretty much the rest was all closed session. So I did give Myron an update on the one, so I guess you want to know that later and close it, or we can talk later or whatever. So pretty much all we had.
Did you hear anything about Douglas County? I heard on the radio because of the increased cost of jail and staffing and everything, they're going to privatize their jail, or they're looking at that?
That's always been a talk. That's one thing I always said the state should be looking at, probably, is just privatize it. But no, I haven't heard that about Douglas, but it's, I'm sure it's something that's starting to be across the country. They're looking at it.
Was that Douglas or actually Sarpy?
Yeah, I think it was Sarpy.
It was Sarpy. I thought the radio had said Douglas, but maybe it is Sarpy.
It's Sarpy.
But no, I thought that was something. And I had a couple phone calls just as a request, I guess, from the Sheriff's Department. They were asking about thefts and investigations and stuff. Would it be possible, like at committee meetings, for us to get maybe number reported thefts, dollar amounts, approximate dollar amounts for those thefts, and then how many of those have been taken care of? There's two people I could tell they had talked, but
I guess we could try. That's asking a lot, because sometimes investigations ongoing, you know, and it might get solved months down the road, but we can see them come up with. Give it a try.
We've always gotten a report on the numbers, right, that the numbers that the sheriff and his staff.
The quarterlies.
Yeah.
So it'll have in the calls for service. We don't break it down, because then you're talking about more paper for Matt so he can see it, and then there's more lines for me to follow. But we can see how many of those we've kind of had, dollar amount, I suppose, give us an idea.
Well, and you can always make an easy read copy for him, too.
We can see what we can do.
Thanks, Sheriff.
And we should make a note that this is a special day today as far as emergency management is concerned, and there will be tornado warnings. The sirens will be going off at 10:30, I think it is, and I'm not sure if we're going to have anything here in the courthouse. I think because of our meetings today that we won't. But
no, we won't have it.
Typically, we have a training for our employees.
Yeah, there won't be any drill today. Dave, come and talk, and just soon not. Otherwise, everybody would be going to some other rooms and stuff. So they can have, Dave said they visited and they can have it another day for the courthouse.
Well, if we combined everybody and had to go down the basement together, then we'd have all the attorneys with regular people too, and that'd be kind of scary.
We do have a timed event at 9 o'clock. I have 8:59 on the clock. We will go ahead, I think, or I don't know if they're here.
Yes, they're here.
Oh.
He was out in the hallway. I think he might still be.
No, he.
Yep. Phil. That's who I meant. Yeah, I meant Phil. And staff. So.
Good morning. Good morning. This month, we would like to honor Arnold Evers. Arnold was in the United States Army from January 12, 1953 to November 23, 1954. He served with Battery A, the 52nd Field Artillery Battalion, in Korea. He received the Korean Service Medal, United Nations Service Medal, National Defense Service Medal, Republic of Korea Presidential Unit Citation, Good Conduct Medal, and the Korean Defense Service Medal. after he came back to Gage County here, he has worked tirelessly over the years, and even to this day, transporting veterans to and from appointments and meetings and different things, and he's just been a great asset to the community. So this time I'd like to introduce Arnold Evers.
Come on up here. Thank you.
Bill, did you bring me here?
No.
Oh.
You're the one hauling people around all the time.
Oh, all right.
Well, on behalf of the American Legion Riders, they would like to give you this gift certificate for down at the club sometime.
Okay, so thanks.
That's something they wanted to include with this program now, so they'll be doing that every month. But you're the first recipient.
Wow. All right.
So,
thank you.
Please tell us about your service.
First of all, before I get started, I got to give credit to my wife. She, Darlene, stand up, please. Darlene, stand up, please. She was the gal that sent me all those letters. They helped me make it through the day. It was really wonderful. And it was just big help. She's the one that brought me home. And is there anything that we can do for veterans, they say? You bet you can. There's people that moan and groan and complain and how bad it is, and they'll tell you what's wrong in Washington. They even tell you how to fix it. When this happens, fellas, don't let them tear America down. Hang in there. Speak up. These guys complain it's either too hot or too cold, too wet or too dry. Tell them how blessed they are to be here in America. We've got nice homes and plenty to eat. Obesity is going to the top of the list. And we're just a wonderful country, and we better appreciate it. So when the time comes, fellas, speak up. Let them have it. Another thing, I took my artillery training, and then I went overseas to Korea with the 24th Division, and there for a while. Finally, orders come down, ceasefire. We were so glad. And little did we understand that our troubles had just started. Civilians was coming in. They were starving, skin and bones, and they was following us wherever we went. This went on every day, and it really got us down. Little children come up to you and pull on your pant legs. They want something to eat. Mothers sitting in their chairs, holding their babies on their lap. And mothers who were dying, holding their babies in their lap. And we held their hand, and nothing we can do. Fellas, this is the worst thing you can ever experience. I can stand here and tell you about it, but there's no way that you can understand. It's so horrible that it's just a terrible situation. I then went to war for that ceasefire. Then I went to guarding prisoners. And here's a quick one. I was guarding prisoners one day, and they work on the roads, and everything was fine. They opened up their dinner pails, and oh my God, it stunk. Oh, I couldn't take it, and I didn't dare let on. So they was eating their dinner, and I was on the other side of the truck unloading. I had a puke. And anyhow, we made that one all right. And then the compound was run by generators. And every time the generator, the lights would go dim, these POWs would wrap themselves up in blankets, and they would head for the fence all together. And lots of times the fence would go down, and then we soon quick had to stop them. And another thing, these POWs, they didn't like our white rice. They wanted the black rice. So we had riots, and we had to go in there and, and split them apart. And then we all carried a little can of tear gas, and in 15 minutes, everything was quiet. Solved, problem solved. And here's one that I don't like to talk about, but is it supposed to rain today? We had a guy in a black box. He is a prisoner. He had messed up, and he was in that little black box, and he told, I had orders to guard him one-on-one, and it was nighttime, and I checked him, looked in there with a flashlight. He didn't eat his supper, but he was fine. And the middle of the night, checked him again, and he was hanging from the rafter. He had cut blankets in strips and made his rope, and he didn't have his no Sunday suit on either, just as is. And so that was that. You see somebody in need, give them a hand. Tell them you care. It won't be long, you'll see tears running down his eyes. Look closely. There it is, folks. It's doing more for you than it is for him. Give him a hand. And here is a letter to mom from her dying son that I still recall. And here's how it goes. Dear Mom, was the way that it started. I miss you so much, it went on. And Mom, I didn't know that I love you so, but I'll prove it when the war is over. I'm writing this down in a trench, Mom. Please don't scold me if it isn't so neat. You know, as I did when I was a kid, I come home with mud on my feet. Then Mom's old hands began to tremble. She fought against tears in her eyes because she knew that her darling had died. That night, as she sat by her bedside, she prayed, Lord above, hear my prayer. Protect all the people who are fighting tonight, and dear God, keep America free. Fellows, this says it all. Keep America free. What does Trump say? We're going to make America great again. We are. So, fellows, don't let them run America down. Speak up. Tell them how blessed they are. Here's my wife. She sent me all those letters when I was in Korea. I had to leave her. It was my sweetheart. I had to leave her. Couldn't take her along. Her letters come in so often, letter by letter. She never quit writing. So I bought her a... What did I buy her, Dara? I think it's a cat in a sack. She kept asking me who that was for, and I told her it was for Phil, but Phil is naughty. He don't get it.
Oh, wow.
Thank you, darling. You deserve every leaf of it. I appreciate what you did. Thank you for having me, Phil. God bless you.
Thank you, Arnold. We
God bless America.
We appreciate it very much.
I've known Arnold for a long time. Outstanding. Arnold, on behalf of the county, we don't have the frame yet, but we'll get it to you.
Okay.
I'd like to give you this certificate and this small token of our appreciation.
Oh, boy.
Thank you very much.
I'll come back again.
Okay.
As long as I have not even a sad story to tell.
Good job.
Yeah. There's some wisdom.
I think back to committee meetings here. Reports. Road and bridge yet we didn't do.
Okay. A lot of the discussion on the gravel bids, I think we've got that all ironed out, as Roger stated, so it's correct. We approve them in the consent agenda.
Supervisor Juergens, question.
Yeah.
The old bid specs, how many years have we used those?
Well, I really don't know. As far as I've been around it and associated with it.
And how long have you been around and been associated with it?
Well, associated directly, say 15 years.
So the bid specs that we've been using for 15 years.
At least, yeah.
So we're updating
those. At least.
Those. Yeah. Multiple boards. Yeah, just missed it.
Adams Northwest Bridge Project. Galen's been checking on that. We can use our soft match money, which is an old program that the state had as of right now, and this keeps going down because it's not being funded anymore. Gage County has $300,946.54 in soft match money, which we can use on that project. The payout on it is 80-10-10, 80 coming from the federal, 10 from the state, and 10 from the county. So our 10% can be funded through this soft match.
And the soft match, that's not something that we have here. That's basically a savings right. account up of the state.
Right.
That projects that have been done in the past, you earn basically soft match dollar credits or whatever.
Right.
So our share of that bridge, including last meeting, we had about a $13,000 or $14,000 proposal of some more work that needed to be done on that. That amount, too, will be included in there that we can use in our soft match. So Galen checked on that, and that was pretty good news, so that that's not something that the county will have to use out of our budget. So that Galen, thank him for checking that out and getting that clarified. So there's some pretty good savings there.
And this is the project.
Really, for people who don't know, that's an 80-10-10.
Yeah.
I think that's very important. 80 state, 10
80 federal.
Federal, 10 state.
Yeah. 10 state, 10 county. And this is a project that will be bid, I think, this December is the last we knew.
The last we heard.
So it'll be a project that will be started next year, probably.
And this is a federal aid bridge, which has been in the ongoings for probably 20-plus years or close to that, in the works, I guess, from when it originally started. I know this bridge is, a lot of people have been asking me, Adams Northwest, where that's at. Well, it's actually about 2 miles south first to Apple Road and then a mile and a half east.
Mm-hmm.
But it's always had the name Adams Northwest Project. So it's on Apple Road, a mile and a half east of 34B. That's where the bridge is at. So, Eric.
This is that bridge we went up to the Board of Classifications on, and the bridge was all designed, passed. Board of Classifications wouldn't give us a buy on this like they did everyone else leading up to this, so we had to pay to have it redesigned, increased our cost another $15,000 by a non-elected appointed board, and then this last increase was another $12,800 caused by that same board. So non-elected appointed board causing this to be delayed, and now an increase of direct increase of about $30,000, which is going to end up being about $60,000. So nice job, Board of Classifications, I guess.
And Galen did print off the full sheet. I mean, it, nothing to do with this, but all the soft match money for each county that they have in their coffers up there yet that can be used for something like this. Galen's been visiting with the landowner on a box culvert project north of Ellis. Came to agreement on the permanent easement, but still question the demand of the amount of money on the temporary easement. Galen has sent three employees and went through crane schooling. They can take a test to become certified to operate the county's cranes. And basically, that's all I have.
Anything else for Roden Bridge?
Oh, did you mention the money we got back in the buyback program?
No, thank you,
Gary. That's $316,816 that we received.
I think that
back.
Was deposited in the treasurer's office.
That was
right.
Deposited. Yep. We received that. Don received a letter stating that this buyback program is, if I understand it right, there won't be any federal aid bridges anymore. There's not such a thing as that. The money all goes to the state, and the state program now kind of is this buyback program where they allocate money to different government entities, counties and cities, and that funding comes in here. So in future years, if the county has a bridge that they will be replacing at some of these bigger ones, what we're doing, the last federal aid project bridges, that is where that money will have to come from or whatever, that fund. It's in a separate line in our budget, so so far we haven't really spent hardly anything in the last several years since this has started, but that is a fund that has to meet certain requirements or be used for certain things. It's just not to be spent on anything. So we use some of that for Hickory Road. Okay.
What we had before for Hickory Road.
For Hickory Road. So like that for projects that other government entities now are going to be doing, that's how the state has, that's their program now or whatever.
And basically that is for new construction, new projects.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It has guidelines with it.
Yep.
You're right.
Yep.
We're not quite to 9:30 yet, so I have one more thing here I want to do in committee reports. Everybody should have a letter here from Hannah Keelan. This visit with them before our last meeting, they sent this to me on the Wednesday afternoon after our last meeting, so this is the first chance we've had to visit with it. I did show it to the zoning board the other night. We talked about, in our zoning regulations, we've talked several years about reassessing our zoning regulations. Visited with Hannah Keelan there a couple weeks ago. They put together a proposal of what they would do and how, and the timeline kind of. They're looking at 6 to 8 months there of doing different meetings and different research or whatever. They're proposing a cost of helping us with reassessing our zoning regulations, and they'd have so many meetings and different things, public comments from people, and they helped with the housing study here in Gage County when they did that here over the winter or last fall. I thought they did a very good job then. This is something we will have on our next board meeting we'll discuss at our committee meetings and have it on the board meeting to see if we want to do approve this to hire them or not. If you have more questions, we can sure have them down. Otherwise, to visit. Maybe if you want them down, we could have them down to visit. We'll have more discussion to see where we go or how we maybe handle it. We're going to look at two main areas, not saying they wouldn't look at other areas. I told them the one we really didn't need to look at was our wind regulations because we just went through that process here the last year and a half. But they were going to, land use and then special use permits. They were going to put a little bit more emphasis on those, but we can kind of direct them, or if there's something else you'd like to add, or that can all be a part of that, or whatever. So they did say, in the 90s we did, they helped with zoning, the original time it was. I think he said, and I may not remember the date right, in 2004 they did do a reassessment then at that time, but as far as they knew, they hadn't helped with anything since then, and I think as we talked to most people like Lisa and stuff, the county really hasn't made any adjustments since then either. So they definitely helped with it one time, he said, and I might be wrong on the date. It might have been later or early. It was 2000-something.
I was going to say, they did. I was one of the first on the board, and Danny and I were, and they did a comprehensive assessment, and the cost was significantly higher than this.
It was.
This is a good price. I think it was must have been somewhere between 09 and 2011. And 2011, they had done, but I want to say it was 40,000 back then.
I'd have to look.
Maybe I'm off, but it yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But if let me know if you want them down, or if you have questions, or we can sure have it down, or otherwise we can have them down here in a couple meetings or something or whatever, however you want to. But we'll visit a committee meeting. Probably be a good chance this proposal will be on board meeting. We'll just see if what questions or comments come up and stuff. So
good idea.
Wanted to bring that up a little bit. Well, the only other thing we have is for the mileage reimbursement, and I don't know if we'll get that conversation done before a 9:30 timed event. So I think we'll take a 5-minute break before 9:30, and we'll come back at 9:30, and then we'll start with the public comment period when we come back at 9:30.
What's that?
Okay.
Did you want to tour the men's restroom? Is that a guided tour?
No. We won't take a break then. We won't have an adjournment here. We're going to skip over our 9:30 thing, go down to the bottom here, discuss and approve or disapprove mileage reimbursement form. Everybody should have that in their pile of papers or whatever. That got brought up last time. There's been some questions about why all of this on that form, why different things are on there. Don did request from Deanne from the state auditor's office, and everybody should have that another piece of paper there, and it lists what the state of Nebraska does require on that form. Now, I'll take a motion. Yeah, what? Go ahead.
As well as the IRS.
As well as the IRS. So,
motion to approve the new mileage form.
Second.
We have a motion by Bauman and a second by Thiemann. Now, discussion. I think part of the discussion was why so much, or why all these things on there. And
initially, they had the odometer.
Yes.
On here.
Mm-hmm.
Why in the hell my odometer on my car when I take a conference trip to Kearney is important to the IRS? And it's not. It's not even required. So I raised that issue. The time issue. This is for multiple use form, like a self-employed person. So you keep track of your mileage as you go to and from your various job sites, etc. Okay? One size don't fit all. And of course, I'll come off at the paper and the media saying I'm against this. I don't personally care. The problem is just what Mr. Evers was talking about, keep America free. Why is it important that I go to Kearney and I stop before I get to the hotel and the conference center at Cabela's, which I've been known to do? Do they really want to know? I spent an hour and a half at Cabela's before I got to my check-in at the hotel for my conference. And then that's all I'm saying. I think it's a crock. You know, the form we had before says, why am I going? What dates am I going, and what's the mileage? That's what they need to know. That's what Don needs to know. Then the official, elected official, signs their name on the bottom of that. So I'm putting my word that that was a legitimate expense. I'm just raising that. I don't care.
Yep.
I thought you'd need something more than anhydrous tanks on the press, so here we go.
I also think
make us agree again.
Well, The mileage log also is going to tie into hotel reimbursement and, you know, what time you were there and that type of thing, too. But something that's required by the audit, I would say we do it.
I'd say the same thing. Just do whatever's required by the auditor, nothing more.
I got a question for Matt, though. I don't know. I mean, the state, what does the state require when you, or don't, or haven't you had that experience yet as far as?
State vehicles, so.
You state vehicles, so that don't matter, yeah. So they don't have that issue. We as a county don't have what you call 6 or 8 or 10 vehicles out there that they can just take and drive. Yeah. Because I know we have one, but that one's not always what people want to drive.
And stuff, then you have to log mileage. So when you go, even if it's a state vehicle, you got to log mileage.
When I was doing mileage when, as a senator, you just, where do you leave from? Where are you going to? How many miles is it? How many miles to and from? And that's it. You don't have to throw the rest of that detailed stuff in there. But
I'm kind of intrigued with the fact that it just annoys the heck out of the county attorney here. I don't know.
No, it's just well, and again, like I said, the first form she sent out had my odometer. Whether my Explorer's got 150,000 on it or it's got 20,000 isn't anybody's business other than mine and my wife's.
But we don't have it on there. So
no, they took it off. So it's adjustable. And like I said, the programs that you can buy to take care of these things, don't have this stuff. Yeah, and I know some of them do. So, again, don't get me wrong. I agree with what you're saying. Do it. If the state auditor says do it, fine.
But it's an annoyance. I get it.
Well, no, it's not an annoyance. Again, I think the public needs to understand, you know, I'm tearing my car up, you know, using it to go out. And that's, you know, I don't mind that. But then to want to know exactly when I get there. And again, I'm paid on a salary basis. So if I get there 5 to 8 or I get there at 4:30 in the morning, it doesn't matter. But again, it's one size fits all. So again, don't take me wrong. It's just something we talk about things. You know, I know the board does the encroachments so as far as the classification request you made on deaf air, so.
I have noticed on Terry's stuff, though, it takes him half as much time to get anywhere as anyone else.
That's correct.
Well, they don't have you put down your speed limit on there. So.
Well, they can calculate that.
Well, they can calculate. Yeah, I guess so.
I can hear that.
Well,
that's what Eric's saying.
Don't say we lower the speed limit on Mobile Blacktop to 25.
We have a motion to approve this form, our mileage log form. We have a second. Any more discussion? Vote 7-0 in favor.
I assume they approve.
Next up is in our time agenda item, the approve or disapprove the resolution special use permit. But as part of that, I said we will have comments from the public. It is now 9:28 on the clock, so we will start with that. We will start with public comment. You will be limited to 3 minutes, and like I said, we as a board are not allowed to ask questions or to respond or make any decisions based on your comments. But whoever would like to, we can sure go ahead and start now. So the Holtmeyers will, when we get done with public comment, the Holtmeyers will be coming up to make their comments. They have as long as they
want. I
want
to correct you. We can make decisions based on their comments. You said we can.
We can, but not at that particular
not
time.
At that minute. But
not at that minute. We
will make our overall decision based on comments.
We can. Yes. Sorry. Stated that wrong. So whoever would like to come up and comment, like I said, we'll limit you to 3 minutes. We need a name and address for the record.
I'm Robert Jacobson. I live at 27365 North 17th Road. I've spoken fairly passionately against this once before, but I'd like to address their fire marshal permit. This permit is going to say it passes the minimum requirements to be placed there. It doesn't say it's safe to operate. It says the facility is safe. It doesn't say it's safe to operate. Accidents happen with man-made objects. Okay? Handbooks for fire departments have regulations on how to handle leaks, hazmat calls, evacuation. If those weren't needed, they wouldn't be on there. They're on the books. That means there's a danger from this. Okay. Thing I'd like to address is the placement of it. The wind blows north and south, predominantly in Nebraska. This is set dead center in multiple houses. If they would have a catastrophic leak, it'll blow one direction or the other into our residences. If they have a leak and it's a still day, they're on top of a hill, it'll roll downhill into other people's properties. no matter what the wind does, there's still a danger. This permit does nothing to take into effect human error. There's accidents when you transfer anhydrous. Dustin said he had a man injured, but it may not have been his fault. Accidents happen. Nebraska farmers are a can-do thing. We're on a time crunch. Can you guarantee they won't take a shortcut when they're in the short anhydrous season? Does not address vehicle accidents. We're going to have large semi-trailers trying to negotiate a small five-acre property. It's going to have a new scale, two new big tanks, 20 pups. I can't believe they're only going to do 20 pups and service five farmers on their million-dollar investment. So they're going to have two pups in the field, two getting full, so they're only going to service five people. They're not making a profit. They're going to have 40 pups out there, maybe 80. I heard they've dropped the size of their tanks. So that means they're going to have twice as many pups setting up there. Every pup has more welds. Every pup has more valves. Every pup has more hoses. All these things can break, leak, or cause an issue. Our lawyer sent you an email a couple days ago. I hope you all looked at it. You requested that information on catastrophic leaks of anhydrous facilities. Please look at that if you haven't. This does not cover vandalism and crime. If they're right now, they're planning on building a border wall. The meth in the United States is Mexican meth in general. With that wall, if it gets built and it cuts way down, homegrown meth will come back. We have an enticing target right in the middle of our housing area. You can't say it's safe. You can't say it won't happen. If it happens, it'll probably be in the middle of the night. Who's gonna find out it happened? Me when I'm coughing. I believe in general, these young men knew that this wouldn't be liked by the neighbors, or else they would have addressed this prior to this happening. They knew it's reckless. They knew it's a dangerous position, a spot to put it. They knew it would have a damage on our property values, or else in the year planning prior to this, they would have came up to us and said, hey, we're thinking of doing this. They kind of did it on the sly. They're hiding it because they knew it was not a good thing for us neighbors.
Time.
Thank you.
Next. We need your name and address for the record.
Jerry Meyer, 27832 Southwest 117th Road. I'd just like to tell you again how frustrated I am with the prospect of have an ammonia distribution plant in my backyard and in the backyard of all the neighbors. Colt Meyer says he will have a trained, hired man to run the place. This is a red flag. You can't find a reliable operator for this type of job in this setting. More danger. This frustration goes back to when they got their first driveway permit. I finally figured out what was going on. I called Matt Bauman. He said he would try to talk to them. I'm concerned about dangerous chemicals being stored in this particular building. I was afraid they were going to store more than the dangerous chemicals. Matt Bauman finally got back to me, and he said that Holtmeyer told him, he said, don't worry about it. We're not going to store bad chemicals in that building. Well, coming to that. I'm concerned also mostly. Most of the road, the runoff from the building that's there, runs down a waterway. The waterway goes down to the road through a culvert and right onto me. Every bit of that water will come down and be on me with probably dangerous chemicals in it. And let's don't forget, too, we've got 150 signatures on a piece of paper that said they don't want it there. Those are potential customers. Why would they want something in there when they're not even going to be a customer? So I ask you, please vote no on this permit. Thank you.
Next.
My name is Patricia Meyer, 27832 Southwest 117th Road, and I am reading a letter from Steve and Donna Hipp. They were unable to be here today. Their property is at 28060 Southwest 117th Road, and they're less than one-fourth of a mile from the proposed permit. If it wasn't for the importance of Steve's doctor appointment, we would be here showing our opposition for this proposal. We do not feel this is a safe place for such an operation as this permit is requiring. We also are not naive enough to believe that they will quit with this, but let's focus on this permit request. In all of their planning, there was no contact with the residents who live here. There were the imaginary letters that we never received. Didn't this on its own raise questions as to their reliability if they were willing to be dishonest after something so small? How about matters more serious affecting the safety of those who live here? I'm going to focus on my husband who is disabled. Quick evacuation is not possible. Evacuation in anhydrous-filled air is impossible. In the previous hearing, they stated they were unable to find another location. So by picking this location, it shows their total disregard for their neighbors. Their only concern, their own profit. This they have proven by how they handled this process with secrecy. If they truly cared about their neighbors, they would have requested to meet with us prior to 2 weeks before today's hearing. We would have been more inclined to believe them prior to 2 weeks ago. At the previous hearing, it was noted that zoning doesn't protectively watch for areas where several residents have been built and change zoning to residential. But if the request has been submitted, it probably would have been changed. So on a technicality, we have this permit request. We are definitely not against agriculture. We are just requesting a better location. They mentioned their liability insurance of $5 million. In the event of an accident, with the amount of residential properties in this area, $5 million would not begin to cover what was needed. Accidents happen. So along with safety issues, the families who have built here, who are building here and live here and could lose their property values. Would you have bought here? Please allow this to be the residential subdivision it is meant to be. Please vote no on this permit. Thank you. Thank you.
Next.
Christy Carnes, 12120 West Hickory Road, and my property is about 200 feet north of Mike and the Holtmeyers there. I just want to say Ray and I did go to the open house meeting that Mike and Dustin had, which was suggested by Dennis Byers, Mr. Byers, to have that meeting. And I am still strongly opposed to this anhydrous business going into that location. They keep asking or keep saying that they're surprised about the opposition that we're having opposing this. And why wouldn't we? Why wouldn't anybody oppose a site, a business, an anhydrous business going in next to your property, your home? This could, or the property of your family and grandkids. Just want to say I'm still strongly opposed to this. Thank you.
Next.
Good morning. My name is Terry Sumaza, and I live at 12134 West Belvedere. I am strongly opposed to the anhydrous ammonia distribution center coming to our neighborhood. We have an organic acreage, and it would be a detriment to our livelihood. At our first meeting, Rob Schaefer said that all of our opposition was simply fear-based and that we had nothing to fear. My opposition is rooted in fact, not fear. It is a fact that anhydrous ammonia is a nasty, toxic, dangerous chemical. It is a fact that leaks and spills happen all the time. It is a fact that people are injured and burned from exposure to this poison. It is a fact that people die from contact with it. And it is also a fact that drugged out meth heads love this chemical. 2 weeks ago, we went to an open house hosted by Mike Holtmeyer and company. They are nice guys. I have no ill will against them personally. But being polite doesn't make the situation right. They own lots of land. There are numerous other places where they could locate this business. Mike told us that when they opened up the seed business, they had no intention of adding anhydrous ammonia to their operation. I think they should stick with that original business plan. It is too risky and affects too many families to put it in this location. We live here. They go home at the end of the day and leave their concerns behind. We don't. We have to face the deadly anomaly in our neighborhood 24/7. At the open house, several questions were asked about the safety features of the storage tanks and the nurse tanks. Dustin admitted to not knowing the answers, but said he would find out and get back to us. He never has. So that has led me to believe that he does not take our concerns seriously and that the whole open house was just a show for you guys, the supervisors and others. During that meeting, Mike also told us that during the heat of the battle, during peak season of anhydrous sales, that they will be leaving nurse tanks close to the road so people could come and take them after hours. That raises all kinds of questions and concerns, and I wonder if that was in their plan with the fire marshal. It seems to me at the end of the day, at night, when a farmer is dead tired on a dark road with no lighting, is a disaster waiting to happen. Not to mention that the tanks will also be very accessible to meth manufacturers and their cohorts. All these things put together are all red flags that can't be ignored. This is the wrong neighborhood to set up a distribution center for dangerous chemicals. I beseech you, please vote no against this permit.
Good morning. I'm Ron Mazza, 12134 West Belvedere Road. As been stated, last time we got together, the supervisors recommended that Mike and Dustin would have a get-together at the property, and they took your advice. Terry Sue and myself, as well as others, attended, as been said. Two pieces of information that came to light. First, the location was chosen for a convenient commute. They stated that at the zoning meeting that as they grew, they would open up another location in 1 to 2 years, stated by Mike. I have also come to find out that the Holtmeyer brothers bought 80 acres in Gage County, south of Ellis, only 4 months before this purchase of this property, which is over by 1,300 acres of the family farms and no homes at that location. As things grew, they could put another location by their homes, as Mike had said in the zoning meeting, where their family has over 3,000 acres, not near any homes. Instead, they choose the convenience of a commute over our family's convenience, livelihoods, and lives. Second, I'd like to think that codes and regulations are very important when dealing with such a dangerous chemical. However, Mike and Dustin have proven that codes and regulations do not apply to them. As they do what they want, even if it's breaking code. By having an employee living in the conference room of the machine shed, this is not a residence. It has no permit to be one. How can you question their ability to run an operation safely when they think that rules do not apply to them? That's a dangerous combination, and one of these days a broken rule will end up killing one of the neighbors. This is a foolish place to run a hazardous business and must be denied. Thank you.
Ryan Greenwood, 2425 South, 144th Street, Omaha, Nebraska, 68144. I'm from Domino Law. I represent many concerned property owners, and I'm speaking on behalf of Steve MacArthur this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to address you today. Much has been said. There have been multiple hearings, and I respect all the time that you have dedicated to this delicate emotional issue and also economic issue. I would like to address two of the seven guidelines from the Gage County Zoning Regulations that are most critical for your review in determining whether to deny the special use permit. First, Guideline 4 states that special use must not tend to depreciate the value of the surrounding structures or property. Now, this type of facility, given the risk you are all aware of, will put a chill on many future developments. This is not theoretical. This is based upon my conversations with my clients and also evidence of the 125-plus signatures on the petition who oppose this permit. They are going to be less likely to apply for building permits for new homes and new structures on the land that they currently own. This area, as you know, has been moving towards a more residential type use, and this trend will continue to grow as people move away from more populous areas. So, in essence, by passing this permit, you are going to lose tax revenue because there's going to be less likelihood of people wanting to develop the land that they currently own. Secondly, current owners and my clients are very likely to petition to the county assessor to reduce their assessed values for tax purposes because this facility is going to bring down resale values. These all have negative economic impacts, not only on the adjacent property owners, which of course have been there before this facility and application, but also on the county itself. Another guideline, Guideline 3 states, the special use must not be detrimental to adjacent property. We know it's not just the installation of two storage tanks themselves, but they will also house nurse tanks. How many? That's still in question. Anywhere between 15 to 30 or more. And each of these nurse tanks will have at least a capacity of 2,000 gallons each. 2 days ago, I sent an email to the board of supervisors from research from the United States Department of Transportation, where they stated that 3% of anhydrous nurse tanks failed within 3 years of service. I'm not talking about pipelines. I'm not talking about the storage tanks. The nurse tanks themselves, 3% of them within 3 years of service fail. So what's that impact? Well, that study's also included some catastrophic events, one of which occurred in Minnesota in 2005, where just a 1,000-gallon nurse tank filled to just 85% capacity exploded. Now, it shot across 100 yards. It split a utility tractor in half. And on top of that, the cloud that transferred down hospitalized a farmer who lived 3/10 of a mile away. Another example, in 2003 in Ohio, a cargo tank, like the ones you see being pulled by semis, now that too ruptured. Now, I bring that up because those employees inspected that cargo tank following USDOT mandates, federal regulations. They used magnetic particle and hydrostatic testing. They did visual inspections, and it passed everything, but it still occurred. Things still happen. In conclusion, Mr. MacArthur and the rest of the landowners are not fundamentally against this type of project, but they are in this particular location. It is simply not the most intelligent location for an applicant who admittedly owns a significant amount of property. This facility should be placed in a different location, away from residences, and away from that area that is continually moving towards more residential. The applicants will not be prejudiced based on a denial because they have other opportunities. Thank you for your time.
Anyone else?
Kyle Spilker, my address is 21159 Southwest 117th Road, DeWitt, Nebraska. Anhydrous ammonia is a hazardous material that may be fatal if inhaled, and any placement of a facility such as this proposed one closer than 1 mile of any residence is too close. I challenge you as a board to find any city or village that would allow a new facility like this within their city limits or expanding zoned expanded zoning area. Cortland, Hallam, DeWitt, Pickerel are just a few examples of nearby towns that have had these facilities relocated outside of town. The reasoning for this is the safety of the people. You guys are interested in facts. Here's a few facts. Nobody can guarantee that there will not be an anhydrous ammonia leak, major or minor. Anything man-made can fail. And according to the Gage County Assessor GIS workshop website, and it's in this book that I gave you guys about a month ago. Hope you've had a chance to look at that. And maybe you can comment on this in your discussion. In 2015, the Holtmeyer land valuation was $2,780 an acre. In 2016, the land value dropped to $1,287 an acre. That's after they built their shed there. That's a 46% decrease in assessed land value. Now, I recognize that their total valuation went up, but why has the land valuation gone down? I urge everyone on this board to vote against this special use permit. Thank you for listening.
Any others that would like to speak? Comment. Last chance. If not, we will go and we will have the Holtmeyers come forward and we will start the... we will give them as much time as they want to make comments or however they want to handle their special use permit.
Mike Holtmeyer, 72345 58th Avenue, Plymouth, Nebraska, 68424. The only one I would respond to is, not the only one, but not to get he said, she said, but Kirk and I, lucky enough with our business outside of anhydrous ammonia, have expanded to a point where we can hire an individual. We hired a young guy out of southeast Kansas, new to the area, and the short nature of the time period between when we hired him and when he could get here, he was not able to get into his apartment within a week's time. So, yes, for a week he got the privilege of sleeping on an air mattress in a shed. So, I don't know why that's relevant. You know, whatever. But I guess the point is, you look at the good of the whole. I believe economic development in the county, I think that's a good thing, even if temporarily you have to live in a shed. We did hold a community meeting, and I do appreciate the comments of the good nature, and it was we had good discussion. There is no doubt in my mind and in Kirk and Dustin's mind that internally, if we could turn back the clock, there's absolutely no doubt we would go back and hold that meeting earlier because we were unaware of their, not their concerns, but some of the things we perceive. And I guess when we get to the safety aspect of this, we perceive this as a safe aspect. We perceive it no different than a gas station in town. There certainly is a chance that the underground tanks could explode or somebody filling up the nozzle could fick and gas could go over there and all of a sudden the match is lit and... We understand all that. And part of the reason we have such strong beliefs in the safety and the regulations by the fire marshals, the EPA, and everyone else is if you look at existing facilities around these currently in existence. You know, this is not a new novel business. These are not new novel facilities within the county. The Good Samaritan is within a quarter mile. The Kensington is within 2,000 feet. Odell High School, Freeman High School are both within a half mile. Southern High School is just a little over a half mile. And I forget the name of the elementary school here in town. That's also within 2,000 feet. If these weren't safe, they wouldn't be here, period. I mean, I don't care if it's existing or not. They would not be here. And that's how we view it. We handle anhydrous ammonia. We view it as a safe product. We didn't try to hide anything intentionally. We didn't try to do any of that other business. We've grown up around it. We've seen these facilities in existence. We've seen the safety records. That's the reason. It was not intentional. But with that being said, Not everybody's a farmer, you know. Not everybody's around the product, so with that, that's that. And then the last thing I'd say is we did meet all the fire marshal recommendations. We have approval for the project. Of course, before we operate the project after construction, it still has to pass code. It still has to take care of all that, you know, still have to follow that, that EPA handbook from the ANZ K61.1 1999 edition. So, is there any questions? Or?
I got a question, just a clarification more than anything. So this is that you have approval to basically go ahead and do it. However, what you just said there, you can go ahead and complete your project or whatever. Before you could ever operate, they still have to come back and give their okay.
We can begin construction the moment we get a local approval from you guys, but we can't begin operation until final inspection.
Okay. Any more questions for...
Good morning, Rob Schaefer, attorney for the Holtmeyers, 609 Elk Street here in Beatrice. I'm just going to speak briefly about a house cleaning matter that we'd like to address and then turn it over to Mr. Geertig for closing comments. But there's been some discussion and perhaps even confusion as to whether or not any of the members would have a conflict of interest on today's vote. And I guess to have a clear understanding of that process and for the record, we'd like the county attorney to address conflicts, your conflict of interest policy. And then if any member does have a conflict, we'd like that member to state the conflict and the reason, and then have Mr. Harris render an opinion as to whether or not that's a valid conflict.
Don't waste your time, Roger. I'll vote.
Rob, I don't know if you heard Mr. Reinhold. And I would just say I've had discussions. The question has come up prior to today. I have had a consult with individual members as far as potential conflicts, and I've advised what my best legal opinion. I think he's taken that into account, and we'll make a decision today based on whether to vote or not. And again, he's just indicated on the record that he's going to vote.
Okay. Well, in regardless, if someone doesn't, I think that, you know, I'm practice in the same area, represent the airport, member of the political body myself, and I know that, for the record, that someone, if someone does have a conflict, that that needs to be stated and the reason why, and typically counsel render an opinion. So, thank you.
Good morning. I do have a question for Mr. Holtmeyer.
Yes,
it's been brought up and time and time again as I've driven out by the property. Location, location, location. And have you considered, because of the difficulty with your neighbors and with people being so afraid of this and 100 and some people signing that petition, have you considered saying, with all the land you have, of putting this somewhere else?
I guess just address your last point. We don't have a lot of land. The 3,000 acres, I wish I owned 3,000 acres. In my brother's name, personally, we have 80 acres we split, and we each have our acreages for residence. And our parents own free and clear about 500 acres. After that, it goes to uncles and great-uncles and everything else that we rent 80% of our farm ground. So there isn't like we can just cherry-pick and choose where we want to go. We've taken a lot into consideration, including neighbors, and I guess I don't, like I said, I truly believe that this is safe, and I truly believe that I don't, you know, we can talk grandfather clauses and all that, but history is a good indicator of what's going to happen, and If we got all these facilities with the sterling safety record and you know, we talk about evacuation times or young children or any of these, if that was a safety concern, I believe those facilities would be shut down by somebody would do it. You know, there's propane tank, you know, large storage propane tanks, you know, and as I mentioned, the gas station, that's the best analogy I can give to it. to someone who's not associated with farming or associated with anhydrous ammonia, that if you go to a Casey's or wherever gas station, I suppose there is that one in whatever chance something bad could happen. And if you live next to one of those, if, I don't know, 500 feet, 1,000 feet, if it blows up, there's going to be a lot of bad things happen. But it is regulated to the safety aspects that at least I feel comfortable pulling up to a gas station, filling up, and not even giving one link to safety. And I feel the same way about anhydrous ammonia tanks. I just believe if there was a more, if they were more unsafe than gas stations, they would be, you know, this isn't the handbook, obviously, but there would be a thicker regulation. And that's when I get back to the emotional argument of, you know, we're trying to slip this through the back door, which, like I said, looking back, not everybody's familiar with anhydrous ammonia. I wish I would have done things differently. There's no doubt about it. So
thank you very much. Okay.
Maybe in a closing summation, Jeff.
Your name, quick.
Yeah, Jeff. You bet. Jeff Yeritig. I'm an attorney with Rob and Mike and Dustin and Kirk are our clients, and probably, you know, whether they're clients, they're our friends, and we're here on behalf of our friends who are happen to be our clients. I think that the issues are well framed. This board, I know, gets it. And I think we're looking for forward to a robust debate and discussion amongst the members and to decide whether to approve this special permit. We hope you do. We hope that we have presented on behalf of Kirk and Mike and Dustin information that would allow this board to make a decision that is, frankly, in the best interest of the entirety of Gage County and the entirety of the citizenry, the citizens of Gage County. Just a couple things. I hope, and I know you will, and I that you'll base your vote on science and reason and common sense and law and facts. And what you find out is that when people are have convictions and take strong positions, people will sometimes, you know, they debate the facts or the law, or they'll debate the science or reason or even common sense of a project or of a course of action. We hope that at the end of the day that there's some things that are just speculative that we can't guarantee or promise. In this project or in any project, if you're having a conversation with your wife or your sons or daughters, you don't tell them that things are guaranteed in life. No one would. And I know you as a board wouldn't take that position to guarantee anything, and neither can we. But I think when you look at the rate of probability and you take the risk factor, you have to do a risk assessment. You have to do risk management. We're trying to provide information for the board for this risk assessment and risk management, so that ultimately a decision is made on behalf of Gage County that benefits us all. Yeah, I just want to speak to a few things, whether I persuade any of you or one or none. I want the record to be very clear about, I guess, how I feel about Mike and Kirk and Justin, because things have been said today that I'm not going to let stand or at least respond to. And I understand people get emotional and they get, and this is, we're talking about people's homes and their concerns and safety and health. I understand that. But I think what's become evident, I hope, in this process is that Mike, Kirk right over here, Dustin, Kirk and Mike, Dustin, all they have done is everything that has been asked of them to do by this board. That's all they've done. Everything that you've asked. Now, I want the record to be very clear on a few things. About a month before this process, Mike and Kirk and Dustin came to Rob and I. They sought our legal counsel. At that time, the opposition had retained legal counsel, and it was based on our advice, Rob and our advice, to say, let us work with the board, let us just... There's a process, and it's not about reaching out to your neighbors at that point, but let's just see where we're at on this thing with the board. So if you want to blame anybody about not getting maybe initially building those relationships, supervisor buyers. Blame Rob and I, because when they came to talk to us as their friends, we said, the other side has a legal representation. They've lawyered up, so they've already stated their position. We know they're in opposition. Let us take the time to figure out where we're at. So I just want to speak to that a little bit. But I'm just going to pass this around. I have one copy just, and I want to speak to this a little bit. You can just pass this around. Supervisor T, if I could have just one copy. That's the, about 3 weeks ago or 2 weeks from today, I think it was on March 15th, the Holtmeyers and Dustin had an open house. And, at that time, after, the good advice and the good counsel of Supervisor Byers, said to go out and relationships, go build a relationship with your neighbor. So they're looking to our council, and they said, you bet, go do it. I mean, this is what the board wants, and we should be responsive to the board. Have an open house and invite your neighbors over to visit, you know, as a neighbor would, about their concerns. They did have that open house, and I knew, and this is why Rob and I sometimes counsel our clients, because sometimes it feels like no good deed goes unpunished, because we'll have an open house and people will come in here and they will besmirch our friends and attribute all kind of ill will or malice towards them. And that's wrong. That's wrong. And whether you vote up or down, yes or no, that's just, you know, when someone's trying to put themselves out there and you call them out and you impugn their reputation, that's wrong. And this is a little bit more than just a project or dollars and cents. These are gentlemen that have come over here in Gage County and have done everything that you've asked them to do. Now, I don't know, has anybody got the most revised? I don't want to repeat this. I have submitted to County Attorney Harris the most revised code review as of 3/27. That was 2 days ago. Does everybody have that? I have extra copies.
I did email that out, Mr. Gertie.
And I just want to make sure, because one of the two things, when I go back to what have they done, everything you've asked them to do, they went back. Yes, thank you, Supervisor Byers. They went back and they got that code review. This was kind of getting the cart ahead of the horse, but they did go back. Normally, I think the procedures, you get local approval, then you go to the state. This one, we went to the state with the fire marshal, and then we tried to cross the T's and dot the I's and you know, put this together so that we went state first and then came back to the local board. And what you'll see here is that this was reviewed on March 17th and on March 27th. And I think what you'll see here is this is that what I mentioned 30 days ago, that letter of compliance with the state fire marshal. You'll see the addition is that on the bottom of page 5 of 6, it says revised 3/27 of 17, and there were those two terms. And it talked about term one was on-site distances, which has been at least addressed or met. Term two is documentation for verification of site installation or site inspection. One of the things that I want to make sure that I know we're on the same page is the Holtmeyers and Dustin can't do anything now other than after a vote right now. They can't build, they can't dig up dirt, nothing until you guys, until this board votes. And at that point, when they begin the construction, the final site approval, the state fire marshal will put boots on ground, and they will then, at that point, we are hopeful to give the approval for operation. Right now, they have approval for compliance for state review processes, but the next one will be, operational approval. So, just a couple things, and I'll finish up here. Mike and Kirk and Dustin, they're good businessmen. They're good farmers. I think more importantly, they're good men. And they're good sons. They're good brothers. And they're good fathers. They're good neighbors. And they're going to be good neighbors. And that has to be said. Because there's things that have been said today that, however you vote, I'm not going to stand here as my friends and let people say something that I don't believe about my friends. I think safety and economic development are not exclusive of one another. I know they're not, and you do too, because you do it every day. You make those hard decisions every day, weighing that, finding that sweet spot of balancing safety and economic development. You do it every day, and you do it well. That's why you're elected to your positions, to make these hard calls. the citizens of Gage County put that burden on you because you sought that burden as our representatives. They are, safety and economic development can be harmonious. They can live together. They can complement one another. They're not mutually exclusive. Don't fall for that. That's a red herring. I'm concerned about someone who lives here. Gage County is setting a precedent now and in the future if they vote against this. I guess the question is, if we have the Planning and Zoning Commission doing this process and bringing, and I know you're not here to rubber stamp PNC, I get that. You have an independent obligation to reach your decisions. But the question is Gage County open or closed for business? And it goes within these borders and outside these borders. Are we open for business or are we closed for business? I hope we send the message that we're open for business. Because if you send the message, and this is not a threat, and that's the other thing we don't do, we don't threat. That's not what we do. We come in here and we respectfully request that you look at the facts and you take the vote and you make the vote. But if you vote against this, and all this is in compliance with the zoning regs, the state fire marshal, everything that's basically green lighted up to this point, what's the message that we send to anybody who wants to come in here into an ag friendly community or county and say, what's the position of the board as far as if we want to develop ag in Gage County? I think the precedent that you send, the message you send, is important today, not just now, but in the future. Some of the things, and it goes back to what was said today, I don't know why you folks run for office. I really don't. Thankless job. You get paid a little bit. I don't know what it is. But you've decided to be members and representatives of the county. After today, I don't know why Mike and Kirk and Dustin would build today after listening to that diatribe against them, against their neighbor, from their neighbors. But I'll tell you this. We appreciate and we thank you for what you do. And but some of the things that were said today about character and ill will or maliciousness and on the sly and profitability, you know, I just it's a tough job you guys have to do. And this is a profit organization, a business. Don't get us wrong. We're not in here being a nonprofit. They want to make money, but they also want to do it the right way and bring economic development to Gage County. As you know, there's already 9 anhydrous ammonia plants in Gage County. If you listen to the rationale of the opposition, the logical conclusion of their opposition would be to shut down every plant right now. I mean, that's what the logical conclusion is, shut it all down. That's not common sense. That's not reason. I think the right vote, and I think you know what the right vote here, it's the hard vote. It's yes. I think, I don't want to say the easier vote, but the one that could, you know, if you have Mike and Kirk and Dustin, it's easier to tell 3 people no than 150 people no. But if this is a numbers game, we lose, no doubt, if it's just a numbers game. But it's not a numbers game. It's not just a matter of strength. You know, it doesn't matter how many people can sign a petition if, you know, at Walmart or wherever it is or who they live in town or in Gage County or not. What it matters is, what is the right thing for Gage County? And I don't have to answer that question because you know. So I thank you for your time. I'll take any questions. But we do, whatever happens, we want to thank you. And we respect the request you vote up. Vote yes. So thank you.
Any questions, comments, or any of them?
Thank you.
Thank you very much. And thank you for saying this before we entertain a motion here. Our zoning process here in Gage County, I think I've stated quite often that be thankful we have zoning in the county. There are counties that don't have it. We wouldn't be going through any of this. They'd just be building it. So I want people to remember that. When Arnold Evers got up and talked, he says, America's great. And part of the reason why America's great is because we are afforded those opportunities. We are afforded the right to have our voice heard. And I hope everybody, when they go away from this permit, they feel like their voice has been heard. It may not come out the way you want it, but I hope everybody feels that their voice has been heard. So, Roger.
Just for a court matter of record, you've received a bunch or a lot of documents, whether it be letters from people, emails that we've circulated. I would just, for the record, ask, and I know the clerk's got a lot of these, officially receive those and put them on record. I mean, we could do each one at a time, but we'd be here till 4 o'clock. And I know you've already done that for the prior meetings, but I'm just saying some other stuff has come in, both from people that are not happy with the permit, as well as the attorneys. Mr. Greenwood had sent that catastrophic report, and I got some stuff from the State Fire Marshal, from Mr. Gertig. So I would just ask that that be included officially in the record.
Okay, I will entertain a motion to officially put all the correspondence.
So moved.
Officially in the record. We have a
second.
Motion. Any second? Motion by Bauman. Bauman, seconded by Byers. Vote. 7-0 in favor. And what they're referring to there is anything that we would have received today, any of the correspondence we would have, Roger would have received, or some of those emails too that we've received in the past several weeks. So, start off with, I'll entertain a motion to approve or disapprove the resolution on special use permit number
2017-08.
Oh, it's changed now. It's
well, no, this is our resolution. That's the special permit one you're reading. For our resolution, it's 17-08.
So that's not...
This is our resolution.
Our resolution. I entertain a motion to approve or disapprove, and we'll have discussion after we have the motion and the second. Resolution number 17-08 to approve or disapprove the special use permit. Oh, the special use permit is number 2017-1. Sorry. That's the special use permit, but our resolution is 17-08 for the construction of storage and sale of commercial ag fertilizer. Entertain a motion.
Motion to approve.
Second.
We have a motion by Bauman and a second by Juergens. Now we'll have discussion.
I went based on the plaintiff's attorney's testimony. I stepped out and talked to the county assessor. She does not take into account location of anhydrous facilities when they value property. It's based on sales, so she does not take that into account. There was reference in some of the complaint letters or information provided to the county board that we could look for, that the county and the taxpayers could look forward to an additional lawsuit if we didn't take into account the complaint or petition, and just for the record, we have taken into account the petition that was signed, and which is why we'll take a supermajority vote for this to pass. So that was taken into account. And I also, I believe that in reading through the regulations that allow it, that kick it to a supermajority vote, I believe it's almost with the exception of maybe one or two adjacent landowners within the distance, there's an enormous, I shouldn't say enormous, I recant that, I would say that there are people on the petition from Holmesville, Pickerel, Firth, Odell, within a block or two of the courthouse, DeWitt and Cortland, who have also signed that petition, just for the record. So I believe they've met the requirements there, and I believe that the board has taken into account the requirements to make this a supermajority vote. And this did come to the county board from the Planning and Zoning Commission from a 6-0 vote with no abstentions. It was an absentee of one of the members, and I don't remember who that was. So just a point of process, fact, and structure. I just wanted to say those things.
I think it should be very clear that if you look at the statute concerning zoning regulations in this area, there are issues that tell this board very clearly that it should not be detrimental to adjacent property. It shall not tend to depreciate the value of the surrounding structures or property. It should be compatible with the stated intended use of the district, and should not change the character of the district. And I think it's very important that we keep those things in mind, and as we've heard from those people who are adjacent neighbors, according to the statute, it tells us that we have to take those things into consideration in voting for this issue.
And in regards to Denny's comments, you know, when I've talked to numerous farmers as to, you know, whether this should get approved, their initial reaction is, yes, it should. And when I bring it up on the GIS map and say, this is the 5 acres they own and this is the neighbors next to them, and they go, oh, I didn't realize they were so close. And then when I ask them, would you build it here? I've not had one of them tell me they would. Some of them had said, no, I wouldn't, you know. But I didn't have one that would say I would build it there. As far as the depreciation of the property, my feeling is it would, and that's what I've heard from other people. And I guess I'll make this other comment. You know, a young farmer that I respect very much, I asked him if he'd want to live within a half mile of it, and he said, I wouldn't want to live within a mile of it. That puts anhydrous down for a ton of people. I've had that comment from people I hadn't met until recently from other counties, and when I showed it to them, it was like, you know, that's not the right place. And I guess my comment also is I appreciate what the Holtmeyers are trying to do, and I hope you do make it work at a right location.
Terry?
I guess I farm. I'm used to anhydrous. It's a product that you handle with care. But the people that will be running this have grew up with it. They know the proper way to handle things, and I'm confident they know what they're doing. With that being said, planning and zoning did approve this. They fit all the requirements that we ask of them by what our planning and zoning has on statute right now. If we're going to start picking and choosing where we approve or disapprove, why do we have a planning and zoning board? We just will do away with it. Eliminate the board. Why do we have rules we're supposed to follow? The rules are out there in place, and they comply with all the rules. That's all I have to say. Now, one other comment. I mean, we're worried about a couple small storage tanks. If I was to be concerned with anhydrous, I would look at the coke plant. Not that it's not safe, but there would be my concern.
I'll make a comment on depreciation. And do their houses, are they depreciated? Is there less value when they're not there? You can also, not so much this one, but and I shouldn't maybe make a comment because it's in court, but you can also make a good comment on that farm up there or any farm ground anybody wanted to build some ag facilities on. Now you limited his ability to also make income on there. So we should maybe have Patty, if they lose a special permit, we should go in and devalue that property because he wanted to do something and now he lost opportunity of any income or anything on there. We don't do that and understand why. The state, Patty goes by the state's on valuation, by the state guidelines on valuation. She's not arbitrarily going out and picking areas or doing whatever here and this valuation or that valuation. She's going by state standards, state guidelines, what the legislature wants. Right now, there are none in the state of Nebraska that says your house should be valued less because of a certain property or facility or whatever beside it. Now, that's not to say that there hasn't been a case or two in state court or over Jefferson County that was decided different, but they had to go to court to do that. So valuation is very, very subjective. You can say, yes, it does lower your valuation, but you can also make an argument that, no, it doesn't. Those are not clear. One other quick thing. Approximately 7 years ago in Adams up there, they built a brand new vet clinic that's located within two blocks of their anhydrous facility in town. I don't hear anybody up there talking about, I'm not going to that vet clinic because you got the anhydrous. Why did they build it there? They weren't worried about it at that time.
And I would agree. And I guess, you know, as far as the, you know, I think the issue of the roads is kind of a non-issue. Roads is an issue everywhere. I think the issue of a catastrophic accident is very minimal. But I do think you can minimize it a little bit more. You know, I mean, the Holtmeyers have been here for 3 years. The neighbors have been here for 18 years or 40 years or whatever, you know. I think, to my notion, it's not the right location.
Terry?
Oh.
Or did somebody?
Eric first.
don't misconstrue assessment versus appraisal either, though. The appraised value is going to be what we're going to look at buying a piece of property for, be it ag land or anything else. So, I mean, through the valuations, as far as what we look at as a county, it's going to be all assessed value. It really doesn't matter what the real cost is. The appraised value is what the homeowner is going to really feel, or the property, or landowner. And a little bit of response to what Jeff said, hopefully none of you gentlemen think any of us doubt your integrity. You're successful people. You're successful for a reason. Part of that is people trust you and know your work ethic. So people, especially with homes, it's all a real personal feeling. So, I mean, sometimes that gets a little – and it hasn't been very sharp. I'll say thank you to everyone. It's been very mild as far as how things have been said that we've seen. But, you know, that's a very personal thing, and people get, I'll say, riled pretty fast when it deals with their home. This plant, there's no doubt in my mind it's going to be safe. I wouldn't be worried about it. If I was operating where I needed anhydrous myself, or I was selling it, I would not be afraid to put it next to my house. I guess I know a lot of people are really nervous about that. I wouldn't be afraid of it from a safety standpoint. I'm sure all the checks will be in place. Will I smell anhydrous if it's there? Yes. If you're around it all the time, or you've been around it and worked with it, do you get used to that? Yes. Now, in saying that, for me, myself, if I owned it and I was operating it, I wouldn't be nervous about having it. Would I want to buy a piece of property where I was going to have a home there or something like that? I don't know that I would. I've talked to a couple appraisers, not assessors, but appraisers, and they said, tell me if that house next to the South Booster Station would be worth more if it was 2 miles down the road, or that booster station wasn't there, or that check station on Scott Street. I mean, we talked about specific properties, and in each case, the last appraiser I talked to again echoed the first. Yes, that property would be worth more. When I've looked at this, I could see totally the business part of it, where if I own that piece of property and I'm selling seed out of it, I'm going to sell anhydrous, I'm going to sell chemicals. I've got a nice blacktop there. I've got a highway fairly adjacent to it. It's a great location from that standpoint. I think we need to afford the homeowners that are there already, though, the same reverse logic we use with a hog building. If you're going to build next to a livestock facility and you're going to be too close, we tell the homeowners there, you have to sign off and say you're not going to be a hassle or a problem for, you know, cause this livestock operator any problems. You acknowledge what's there. This is almost the backwards argument on that, where these people are there already. We can't have them say they're not going to cause them a problem, because it's the other way around, I guess, in my mind.
But Eric, that is if they're inside the setbacks. Here, this permit meets all of the setback requirements. That's the only time we have them do that.
That is on that. But
that's the only time we have them do that. This meets all of our current Gage County zoning setback requirements.
I guess
when we've had them do that with a hog facility, that's because they were going to build that inside of the setback requirements,
which is much larger. I guess I would look at safety. I guess isn't an issue to me. The one that I would say it. And this is subjective. I think it's going to be potentially detrimental, but I do think it's going to affect property values. There's a lot of people that would not want to build or buy next to that, and those are established already. It'd be a tougher argument, I guess, if this was on their home place and it was behind there, which I'm sure none of you would be afraid to put it on your own place right behind it. I'm with you on that. I guess that's where I'm sitting, is that's established there. I guess it's respecting the property rights of the people that are there first.
And that's the other comment I get from farmers, is it on their home place? You know, and that makes a difference. as to what's acceptable and what's not.
And maybe that's not a fair comparison, but I've heard the same thing.
All right.
One final comment I'll make. Go by past history. The business they run right there is top-notch. You don't see trash, junk. Everything's done the way you run a good business. And the operation, and there's no doubt in my mind, this new facility will be run the same way.
Gary?
Myron, thank you. The one thing I would say, I would agree with Jeff. I think Mike and Kirk and Dustin are all good people. I agree with Terry. They run a good business. They keep things clean. I think it's unfortunate that sometimes we hit at somebody's character when we're threatened by something. And you know, quite honestly, I don't think that character comes into play here. I think these people are good people. But on the other hand, I've also been told, you know, over time that if somebody's got to tell you they're not, then that probably is. So, you know, some of the other comments, I think, concern me. And some of my other conversations I've had with different individuals, I'm concerned by some of the comments that were made. I don't really care to go any deeper into it than that, but I guess I'm not real excited by some of the comments that were made on both sides of the aisle here. You know, I have the same concerns John and Eric have, but I also have other concerns because I don't really think that this, on a technicality, this is an A1. I think that this fits probably more of an A4 at this time. It is not, but it is an A1. It does fit those, so those issues are not concerned here. But I think in the back of my mind, that's a concern also.
And I just want to make clear, I have absolutely nothing against the character of the individuals making the application. I think they're fine people. They've established themselves as fine business people. Again, I think it comes down, as far as I'm concerned, to location, location, location. And that's the reason I'm going to vote against it. If I'm going to talk about characters, two of my close friends are sitting there in the front row who are characters. Okay, so I have to make that statement because we have to have a little fun here, too. But I have no problem with the people making the application, but I definitely am concerned about location.
Any other comments? If not, we'll vote. Everybody understands that it takes a 5-vote in favor of it to pass this because of the requirements that have been met for the special use permit. Vote. We have 3 in favor, Juergens, Bauman, and Dorn, and 4 against, Hill, Lytle, Byers, and Tiemann. Thank you for everybody taking all the time to go through this process.
I want to just take one second here afterwards. We talked about the easy vote and the hard vote. The easy vote for me was to vote for this because it's something I want. It's something I really want here. I mean, we want to pull business in. We want to pull successful people in, and that's the group we have right here in front of us. I hope that there's a way that we can make something work here, even though it's not working the way you intended or wanted it to today.
And I guess, thank you, Eric. It reminds me, that is one conversation I had with farmers. They would like to see an anhydrous competition out there, and they're very willing to support somebody that gets in that business.
Thank you, guys. Thank you much. Anything else for good of the order? Otherwise, meeting's adjourned at 10:34.